Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Natural Language Processing class for the 13th of October. Today's the 20th day, halfway through the semester. Today we're going to talk about getting your own documents offline somewhere, and I'm going to suggest a somewhere. I have nothing new to add to the course organization. We're going along in the syllabus pretty much how I've, at the speed I've gone with that every other class has progressed through the material, though y'all know lots more than previous versions. Last time we talked about getting texts, looking at the text in the NLTK archive. Everyone downloaded it and played with it, and we looked at some of the real basic text processing methods that NLTK provides for us. I've really been torn about this in my Spanish class. There's no text in here in Spanish, so it's like we talk about it and then we can't use it. In this class, since we're using English, there's lots of English text. Well, there's a few English texts, but they might not be suitable for you. So I want to look at something, a different archive of text. So go ahead and open Spider. We'll be doing lots of Python today. So really and truly, the NLTK texts have been, they're great for getting started with natural language processing, but they've all been pre-processed for you, so they're kind of pre-digested for you. And in that sense, they're not real, because real texts you often have to struggle with. They've got stuff in them you don't need. And so today we'll grab a real live text off the World Wide Web and see how to get it into Python. So, having said that, there's one preliminary step that we have to do, which is for you to figure out what Python is looking at. Because we're going to grab a text off the internet. You need to save it somewhere. And I'd like everyone to save it to the same place, so we're always working. We always start from the same place. But you have to figure out what Python is looking at, and Python often defaults to a folder it likes to look at. What can I say? So, and this came out real, something happened. There was a line here that didn't want to fit. So go ahead and import the OS module. So just import OS, and then use a method, getcdw, os.getcdw. And I spent most of the break rewriting this chapter. So again, I'm running through the book has all of these steps with nice prose explanations. I don't know. The last time I ran this, this is what I got. You might all get something different. I don't know. Okay. Well, Craig's looks good. I want to be in your, ideally you'd be looking at your PyScripts folder.
Oh, okay.
I can't guarantee you that Spider's gonna wind up that way though. Okay? So this right here could be different on everyone's computer.
Oh, okay.
And I can't do anything about that. So the way to do something about it is to give this command, and this is sort of the Macintosh version of the command. I know where this folder is on the Macintosh operating system. I can't guarantee where it will be on Windows. So remember, I asked you to create a PyScripts folder in your documents folder. So in the Macintosh, you'd go user, here, within curly brackets, this is just my way of saying insert your username here. Okay, whatever your username is, mine is Howard or something like that. /documents/PyScripts, and then it ends with a /. That is Macintosh syntax. The PC does it differently. The PC does it with double backslashes, right? Which to somebody seemed like a good idea 40 years ago. And then just to double check, so this is os. Okay, I should explain these. os.getcwd, anyone want to guess? Folders are called directories in to the operating system. So this is cwd is get current working directory. So the current working directory is whatever folder Python is looking at that particular moment. And since we haven't, all you did was start up with Python, it presumably opens up looking at its default folder, whatever that might be. Previous versions of Python actually had it looking at a folder inside itself, which created endless problems. And then so os.chdir is change directory. So this just changes the working directory to your PyScripts folder. And then always, always, always double check, give it the os.getcwd method again, and it should now return the path to your PyScripts folder. Okay? So this may be every time you want to save a file or even open a file, you may have to do some variation of this. And sometimes, well, next time, now that you've seen the Python way of doing this, I think there's a way of setting this in Spider itself, so to save you this step. But we'll talk about that next time. So does everyone have Python looking at your PyScripts folder? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can continue. That's going to be crucial because now we're going to download a file there. Okay. Say what?
It worked. System.
So did you give it let's see if you can change. Did it crash?
Yeah, like
Spider hardly ever crashes. Yeah. Try giving it the command. Well, I'm going to have to move along. So you can. Okay, so moving along. Now, has anyone ever seen Project Gutenberg?
Yeah.
Totally cool. Okay, so here's what you do. You're welcome to go ahead and look at the main page of Project Gutenberg at www.gutenberg.org. But I want you to look at their ebook number 28,554. Okay? And that should open up this page right here. You're welcome after the class to go back and look at Project Gutenberg. It's got tens of thousands of free ebooks on it. So is everyone looking at this page? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You've got this page right here. You don't actually have to leave Spider and do this. I mean, you're welcome to do it because I've got it right here. What I don't have, this is actually the file we want. It says plain text UTF-8, and you can't read that, I know. So if you did open this in your web browser, you're welcome to look at the plain text UTF-8 file. That's the actual file we want. But I'm going to show you how to do this directly in Python. But this is the goal, to download this short work by Philip K. Dick. Okay? So, first of all, we're going to use a different module, different library. So from URL lib, import URL open. That should work without any problem. And now, create a variable since these... So let me talk about this. Does anyone know what URL stands for?
Universal.
Universal, very good. Universal. Yeah, that's not a bad guess. Resource. Locator. This is the technical name for an internet address. And it actually consists of several parts. You can see the parts. So my URL right here, this is a URL, a typical URL. It begins with a protocol, HTTP. Any guesses? Very good, yes. HTTP is the hypertext transfer protocol. There are other protocols. This is almost, if all you deal with is the World Wide Web, this is the only protocol you ever see. Then there's some funny characters, so we can divide this stuff up. The next one is going to be the server where this material is located. Servers have an IP address associated with them, but we hate trying to remember those. So they also have a real name. So here's the server name, and now there's a path through the server's a folder structure to this file right here, PG28554, text, PG being Project Gutenberg. So a URL will have a protocol, a server name, optionally a path through the server's hierarchy to a file, all that stuff. Sometimes a lot of this stuff is optional. Really, the only necessary thing is the protocol and a server. So given this address, we put this address into a variable. That's just to make it easier to deal with. It's a really long, complicated string of text. And whenever I have a long, complicated string of text, I'd rather deal with it as a variable rather than its whole complicated thing. And we use from the URL lib module, the library. We use URL open to open this file and download it to Python. So the download variable contains some object that Python took off this server. And you may have noticed that Python, once you gave this command, it actually hesitated for a moment. That was Python downloading the file to itself. So if it's a really big file or you have a slow connection, Python is going to hesitate even longer. So now you have that file floating around in Python somewhere. If you were to try to access it right now, Python would tell you, sorry, you can't. So next we use this built-in function, this built-in method called read, and that's going to turn the download object into something that we can, into a string, something we can actually deal with.
I don't quite understand the download.
So URL open goes to this address, says, looks at it, sees that it can download a file, downloads the file into Python's memory. So some version, some electronic digital version of this text is sitting in Python's memory as this variable, this variable points to. Now, it's an object that actually has no sequential order, so we can't do anything with it. So what the read command does is actually give it a sequential order. Okay. For as far as we're concerned, it turns it into a string.
Okay.
So this text file gets turned into a Python string. So we download it, then by URL open, and then we turn it into a string. And we can now do stuff with this string, which is why I asked you to confirm the fact that this is a string we can do stuff with. So you can check its type. Its type should be str. You can check its length. It should be something like this. This is what I got. And then you can look at the first 50, look at the first many characters that you want to. Has anyone actually looked at those first characters? No. Anything after a pound sign is a comment. So that's a note to me, or it's a note to you. Python ignores that. So you're welcome to type it in. Python's going to ignore it. So
what is it then?
It's a note to us. It's a comment.
What is 357?
Well, did you give the length command? No, you do not. You can.
That's the understood.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a note to myself that this is the length that I got when I tried it. Different operating systems may actually do this slightly differently, so there could conceivably be differences. I don't know, just to be on the safe side. I mean, you got 51 for the length? I don't think you...
In the number.
Yeah, I don't think you got the entire file, but that would be the only thing. Well, go ahead and look at those characters, see what they are. Did anyone do that? What are the first 50 characters? What are they? Yeah, garble, garble.
Is that because it's in
UTF-8? It should be in UTF-8. In fact, on Project Gutenberg, I specifically downloaded this. This is the UTF-8 version of the file.
Right.
The file itself begins with some funny characters.
Oh.
But that's no big deal. We're gonna do something to this file. What comes after the funny characters?
The Project Gutenberg.
Yes. Exactly. So, okay. So everyone is more or less here? Okay. So you've downloaded the file, turned it into a string. We know how to do stuff with strings. So we could right now, we could immediately begin playing with this string because it's in a format we can deal with. But just to be on the safe side, I'd rather you go ahead and save the string as a file first, then we'll reopen the file and play with it after it's been saved to the disk. So that's the next step, is to learn how to save a file to disk in Python. It's not difficult. So again, I'm assuming that Python's still looking at your PyScripts folder. Now, the file saving process is complicated, and I just learned over the weekend there's an easier way to do this, but this is the old-fashioned way that always works. It's just a little complicated. So the process, let me see if I can explain the process. Python, when you give it the, okay, I'm going to name this our downloaded file. I want you all to name it wub.txt. Wub, great. Nice, easy word to play with. And the open command creates the resources that Python will use to save this file. Okay? It creates them as it's going to write to these resources, so the W stands for write. So it means it's going to write something to disk. The way this works in Python, you save this. There's an intermediary, a temporary file that I just called temp file, that all these resources get saved to. So this just tells Python, please create the resources necessary to save a file to the hard drive. The write method actually puts the material into the resources. And just to be on the safe side, while we're doing this, we're going to encode it as UTF-8. I think it already is UTF-8. But just to be on the safe side, we're going to do this again just in case something happens. And finally, closing the temporary file actually saves all this stuff to disk. And it allows Python to recycle the resources. So it's open, write, close. That's the sequence. And in the book, I give you the sequence, general format. So to check this in Python, to check that this actually worked, assuming you still, we've still have imported the OS module, you give it the list directory command with quote dot quote, which is actually operating system syntax that should list the contents of the working directory, the current working directory. And magically, wub.txt should appear there. You can also look at this file directly through your operating system if you want to. That works too. But this is the Python way of doing it. Yes?
I'm sorry. We just create an empty...
This is essentially creating an empty container or something that's going to hold the contents of the file. Okay. So it's a three-step process. It's open, write, close. And next time, there is a simpler process that actually does all these steps all together that we'll look at next time. But I just found that out over the weekend. Lisa.
You're saying permission denied.
You got permission denied for
.txt.
To do what?
I can't get
permission. Okay, yeah. You're looking at a folder... You don't have permissions to, you don't have permissions to write to the folder that you're trying to write to.
I'll just write it.
Yeah, it's all in the book now.
Okay.
That means that Windows is not, you're not looking at your PyScripts folder. Windows is not really the current working directory. I mean, if it's in your documents folder, you should have permission to write to your documents folder.
Okay.
I mean, that's just how it works. So my guess is that you're actually not looking at a folder in your documents folder.
Okay.
You might be looking, see what happened, the problem, I mentioned we had this problem, Spider would default to a folder inside its own folders, but it wouldn't, since Spider doesn't want you to mess with its stuff because that would make it blow up, it actually doesn't give you permission. It defaults to a folder within its folder hierarchy, but then doesn't give you permission to write to them. So it's I had many interesting days spent trying to figure that out. Yes. So that's why the very first step was find a safe place to save your files to. Yes.
So on the last what are you supposed
to do? It should give you a list of files in your PyScripts folder. Yeah. And wub, the crucial thing is wub.txt should be in there. And then you're welcome to actually go through your Mac and look at that file. That's going to be fine too. Okay, so we're all more or less here. Okay. So next step. So now that we've saved, we've downloaded a file, we've converted it to a string, we've saved it to the hard drive with its own name. Now we're going to open the file again and actually play with it. So we have to redo the previous process, but since we're not going to write to it yet, we don't actually have to. So now with the open command actually has R for read rather than W for write. That's the only difference. It's a crucial difference, but that's the only difference. And if you think this is kind of overly complex and confusing, I agree with you. So we'll look at a different, an easier way, I think an easier way to do this. But this is the standard way. If you actually ask, if you Google how to save a file in Python, this is the procedure you get. So again, open always creates a temporary file, which is the thing you initially work with. You don't actually work with the file itself. So we want to read the temporary file that is converted into a string. Read converts whatever the object is into a string. And now we're going to call this text because it's real live text. And again, to show that this is something we can deal with, you're welcome to check its type, check its length, and look at the first 50 characters or how many characters you'd like to look at. You should get the same thing as last time because, you know, cross our fingers, we did it right last time. But this should show you that this is a string and we know how to deal with strings. Okay? Continue? Okay, let's finally do some real text processing. So it turns out that Project Gutenberg, which worked very hard to find texts, digitize them, edit them, and make sure that they're free of any copyright limitations. So all these, we can do whatever we want with these texts. Though if we actually try to resell them, Project Gutenberg wants a percentage. We're not going to try to resell the wub. The thing is, Project Gutenberg has within around the text, so at the beginning of the text and after the text ends, it inserts a lot of information about itself. And we really, when we do text processing, you know, if I'm interested in Philip K. Dick's writing style, I don't want it contaminated with all of this legalistic stuff from Project Gutenberg. So I want to get rid of that. And so essentially, the Dick's text has a small header at the beginning and a huge footer at the end. The footer is actually pages and pages long, explaining all of the legal limitations on using the text. Now, you can look at the entire text online, so I know, I looked at the text online before I did this processing, so I knew that the header was there and I knew that the footer was there. And then I looked at it to try to figure out the best way to get rid of it. So Project Gutenberg is tremendously helpful for telling us where the text begins and ends. The text actually begins after this line that starts with start of this Project Gutenberg ebook. I mean, that's really helpful. And it actually starts with 3 stars and ends with 3 stars. So we can use the index, Python's built-in index method, to find out where the beginning of this text is. So if you did this, you should have gotten 499. Did people get 499? So that's the index of the first character of this string. Now, I know this string is unique in this text. And in fact, this string is going to be unique in every Project Gutenberg text. And also, I know that the book actually, the book starts on the line after this line. So I'd like to cut out this whole line. That's a little bit tricky, but to save you the lines, if you see a line of text and then there's another line of text after it, every line of text ends with the backslash end character. That's the new line character. So I know that there's a new line character at the end of this line. So all I need to do, I got ahead of myself. So let's go ahead and save the index. I want to save the index of the start of this line, because I'm going to need that in just a second. I mean, I could use the whole thing, but this is clunky and difficult to work with. Now, when we looked at the index method, we actually didn't look at all of it. Index, so far we've been looking at index, and we just give it a string, right? And it tells us where the beginning of that string is. It allows, just a second, it allows more arguments, though. You can actually say, okay, look for this string, but start at 499. So instead of starting at the beginning of the text, it will start at the beginning of the larger string, it will start at position 499. So that means I can essentially start the indexation process anywhere I want to. So what I did here, I said, find the index of the new of a new line character, but I want the new line character that comes after the beginning of this line. So the first new line character that comes after the beginning of this line is going to be the new line character that ends this line. That gets me everything after this line. So the index I get from this is going to give me the index of the rest of the text from the end of this line on. So I can cut out, I can slice out all of the introductory material that I don't want. And in fact, you can look at that. You can look at the whole thing. The string might be too long for Python, for Spider to display it. Sometimes Spider doesn't display long strings. Yes? That's strange. Can you do give the same command, just looking for the three asterisks, three stars? Oh, you know what it is? There's a space after the three stars. Sorry, yes. What can I say? Python's anal. You have to have everything exactly right. There's a space right here. Okay. So now I found the index where the text starts. But remember, I said there's a huge footer, too, that I want to cut out. I definitely want to cut out the footer because it's almost as long as the text is. And that would, of course, ruin any kind of text processing I try to do. At least that makes, if I'm concerned with Dick, the author. But Project Gutenberg probably foresaw this problem and has another unique string in the text, in all of its text, which very helpfully is end of this Project Gutenberg ebook. And after this string is all of the footer material that explains the legal limitations on using this text. So the difference here is that I want to cut everything. I want to cut this out, but starting at this string, right? So I really only need the beginning of this string right here. So here's how we do that. So I just get I save this index directly. Now I have two indices. I have the index of where the text starts. It starts after the start of this Project Gutenberg ebook line. And I have the index of where the text ends. The text ends right before the end of this Project Gutenberg ebook string. Okay? So I have two indices. It's very simple now to put them together into a slice that will give me the entire text of it's a short story, the entire short story. I guess it's certainly not a novel length thing. The text of this short story. So now you are welcome to look at, did I do it? No. You are welcome to look at the first 50 characters of the story, and you should actually finally see some of Dick's writing. So there are undoubtedly simpler ways of doing this, but I did this like this for a very specific reason. I know, remember I said that Project Gutenberg has like 50,000 texts in it? I know, well, I assume, I don't know, I haven't read all 50,000 of them, that each one of them has these two unique strings in it. So this way, using these strings, basing my slice procedure around these two strings, I can be sure to slice out the text of every Project Gutenberg ebook that I would care to deal with. So this, I think, is the most general format of slicing out the text of Project Gutenberg, of one of their ebooks. There's undoubtedly easier ways to do this, but they won't generalize across all of the texts. So I'll tell you what the homework is. We're going to work this into a homework assignment. Are there any questions? Hopefully everyone is at the point where they have a text, a string containing just the text of the story. Okay? So we're almost finished. We'll finish a little bit early. So the final thing, I finally isolated the short story from its Project Gutenberg wrapper. So let's save that back to the disk. There's no reason to create a different file for this. Let's just save it back to the wub.txt file that we created at the beginning. So again, same thing. We have to start off with open, but since we're going to write to this file, open, besides the name of the text, it needs a W string for write. And now we finally write the story into the temporary file. And again, we're going to encode it as UTF-8 just to be on the safe side. I'm pretty sure it already is UTF-8, but just to be on the safe side. And finally, to actually save it and free up all the file resources, we use the close method. So again, once before, to write to a file and save it, it's open, W, write, close. So externally, if you just look at wub.txt again, it shouldn't have changed in any way externally on your hard drive. But now, internally, it consists of a different string. We've sliced out the introduction from Project Gutenberg and the final part, which explains the legalese of how you can use this text. So the file should now be considerably shorter.
Sorry, typing a little bit. So I did the last line, then I checked, uh-huh. And I still have all of the.
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. That's a good thing. The string that contains the story is. If you looked at the web page I showed you at the beginning, if you actually look at the story on the web, there's lots of blank lines in it. And the backslash R is return, like return on a keyboard, return on a typewriter. The backslash N is new line. Why they use both of them, I'm not entirely sure. But all that means is those are blank lines. Now, the string, we haven't asked the string, we haven't really processed the string to get rid of that stuff. So that's why that's not an error. The string still contains all those blank lines that we don't really need, but on the other hand, they don't really get in the way. Because once we start doing string analysis, we're going to only look for, you know, alphanumeric characters anyway. So we could include right now an additional step of pre-processing to get rid of all this junk, but it's really probably not necessary as long as we're careful and with our text analysis just to use alphanumeric characters plus punctuation. So yeah, but that's a good question, and I probably should include that. There are still a bunch of control characters, new line characters in here that might make you think you made a mistake, but you haven't. So here we go. We've saved We've saved the now the text to the WUB file. So WUB should only contain Philip K. Dick's short story. That's all it should contain right now. And it should be considerably shorter than what we started out with.
Sorry, can we go back and just...
Back this far?
To the next one?
This one?
Okay.
Yeah, so again, this is open with a W, write, and close. Exactly. Yeah, this is a step that I add. It's not part of the process of the algorithm, as it were. And since the file is supposed to be in UTF-8 already, I don't think it makes a difference. But it's just a good habit to be in, of always making sure we've got UTF-8. Are there any other questions? Okay. So that's all of the new material I wanted to introduce today. I've used up almost the entire class. So I have an interesting homework project. All of this is online. You're welcome to. You took notes. You actually have it in Spider, in Spider's history file. But what I'd like you to do is create a new script file. Within that script file, create a function that does the process we talked about today. So what the process is, download a file from Project Gutenberg, save it to disk, strip out the header and the footer. So that's what that... I'd like you to create a function that does that, a function you can call. And I was actually thinking of calling it something like Gutenloader, because it downloads only... It only works on text from Project Gutenberg. So imagine the Gutenloader function, it takes a URL as its first argument, so any Project Gutenberg URL, and you also need to give it a file name. So that this would be a URL as a string, and this would be a file name. So it should take two arguments, and you just have to give it that. You have to give it the URL of the file you want, and you have to supply the name of the file that you want saved to disk. And the function should take care of downloading it, saving it to disk, giving it the name you want, plus slicing out the header and the footer. So the result is just a text file that has the body of the text. And I will, this afternoon or tomorrow, I will actually do this and put it up on, you know, as the and answers to the homework kind of thing, so you can double check it against your own work. So ideally, you'd create this function and then you'd use it to download any file off Project Gutenberg that you'd like, and just double check that you got it. Project Gutenberg has text in lots of different languages, so you actually don't have to use English. And as long as we're careful with UTF-8, it won't make any difference. So that's it. Next time, if there are no questions, next time, this is Project Gutenberg is nice. It only has text files. The text format is non-proprietary, so anyone can use it. But a lot of text files on the internet nowadays are PDF files. That's a proprietary format. You cannot read it directly. You have to process it to be able to read it. So next time, at least, I'll show you how to deal with PDF files. The downloading and saving part is the same, but we still have to extract the text from the PDF file. That's a little bit of a challenge, but there's a Python module for doing that. So that's what we'll talk about next time. That may not even take the entire class. So maybe we'll actually get on to some text analysis. So in any event, that's all I have to say for today.